I'm Susanna Bransgrove, and this is Relativity, a new podcast sharing the lives of women in family businesses. Each of our guests' stories reflect the challenges and joys of navigating relationships with family members and participation in the family business. Join us as we dive below the surface into the real lives of women in family businesses. Welcome to Relativity, the podcast for women in family business and the opportunity to grab coffee and catch up on the stories of some of the women in family business in Australia and New Zealand. My name is Susanna Bransgrove. I'm your host, and I'm excited to be joined today by Tracy Thompson. Tracy actually does work with her husband as managing director in their business. They're trading a Shutterflex, and she'll be telling us a whole lot more about how that works very shortly. However, before joining the business, she was really working in a completely different space, much more focused on education and educational policy, working with QUT. So it's been a huge shift for her to come from a personal experience within that sector in government, really, to join the family business and work with her husband. And we're super excited to hear her insights shortly. Tracy, wonderful to have you with us. Welcome, and thank you so much for making the time.
It's lovely to be here.
Now, quite a transition, obviously, if you've been working for government and have been involved in policy making, that, of course, is probably a good foundation to come into a family business and have a look at how that's running. But maybe you can just give me a bit of a background as to your family business and how that got started, so we get a bit of a background about you and your family business.
Of course. Well, initially, it was a business that we bought, I guess, as a family and supported by my husband's family as well. And it was because, I guess, that was driven by a desire for him to own his own business, because he grew up with his father and mother working in a family business. And I think it was very much his father's perception that you weren't successful as a man or successful as a person unless you ran your own business. And that was very much, I think, the message he grew up with. So I knew he was never going to be satisfied until he had his own business. But that was the desire he had. And I had always made it very clear that even though his mother and father had worked together in a business, that that was never anything that I was going to be involved in. But in 2004, we bought a business, but it was very much going to be his business because I had my career in education in the government. And after a couple of years, though, the business wasn't going as well as we wanted it to, and it was really starting to take a toll on him. And then for me, trying to, you know, support a husband that was struggling, raising two young boys at the time, and also trying to commit to my own career and give it what I wanted to give it, I just knew something had to give, that I wasn't able to do everything and support everybody that needed to be supportive and sort of have my own career and everything else. So we took a chance because I never worked in manufacturing. My husband's an engineering background, so that was not an area of expertise that I had. So I wasn't sure if I could even help. I'd never worked in a business before. I always had government positions or teaching positions. So I wasn't even sure if I was able to help, but I thought I needed to do something. So I took 5 weeks leave. I went and helped and did what I thought I might be able to do to help. And that was 14 years ago, and I'm still there.
Wow.
So it was just once I was there, I guess I realised that if this was going to work, then I needed to sort of get in boots and all and help out.
That is such a lovely story, and probably not one that's that would be unfamiliar to some of our listeners, this concept of the husband starting a business and to make it work, you find yourself all of a sudden being a family business, which is wonderful but also quite complicated, I'm guessing. Mm. But looking at the wonderful parts then, what is the one thing you love about being in a family business or owning a family business, and why is that the case?
I've had a bit of time to think about it, and I think one of the things, and this is probably shared by my husband as well when I think about it, Probably one of the things is the nurturing of young talent that we've had come through, and then seeing these young people go on to succeed in their careers and other businesses and sort of watch them grow. And in some cases it's been young people that we've known, you know, they may have been friends of our sons and things like that. It may just have been young women that we employed, you know, that have gone on to have very successful careers in banking and finance because they came to us when they were studying. And I don't know whether that's because I'm a woman, because I've got a maternal instinct and I'm a mother, or because I've got the teaching background, but out of everything, that's probably one of the brighter lights of having the business and what sort of happened. I think for me, you know, if you talk about the business side of it and the success of the business, you know, if you ask my husband, it's going to be about the projects he's worked on and the design solutions he's come up with. But for me, it's probably much more about the people side of thing and that nurturing. The other advantage, in a sense, for me in the last few years has been somewhat that flexibility that I've been able to come and go from the business and caring for my aging parents and being available. And I don't think another employer, if I wasn't working in our own business, would probably have that same sense of, you know, empathy or allow me to have that sort of freedom and prioritising their needs at times when perhaps that competes with the needs of the business.
Beautifully articulated. Thank you for sharing that, Tracy. That's really lovely to hear. But of course, there's also always a flip side, isn't there? And so, of course, we're curious to hear from you what you've been sort of finding quite challenging working in a family business and certainly working with your husband.
There are several things. I wasn't sure where to start here. I think in a sense it's that, and I commented on a recent Instagram post that was placed up by Women in Family Business, and it was something about what advice would you give. And I commented that it's not personal, it's just business. And I think when it's your business, when it's your family's business, when your family's involved, you know, when your home's at stake and your family's finances are at stake, it's hard to separate the two. And it's really difficult to, when things don't go well. And for us, we've had a few cases recently where I feel like people have taken advantage of us and taken advantage of our good nature. And it's really hard to separate and not take that personally, that it's not some personal attack on you, and you've just sort of got to try and keep that perspective, you know, that it's just a business deal. It was particularly challenging for me coming to work in the construction industry and that very male-dominated, very aggressive bullying industry, to be a female in that industry, and the way that some business practices are carried out, which I don't particularly find very ethical. So that's sort of been a challenge. At a personal level, it's probably my biggest challenge is keeping my mouth shut. And that's difficult when you're the wife and the husband and wife in meeting and certain situations. And that's probably one of the toughest challenges for me at times, knowing when to keep my mouth shut. And I think I've done it fairly successfully, but there are times when the meeting's over or, you know, the discussion's been had and then, yes, then I feel free to open my mouth quite a bit and let my husband know exactly what I think.
I'm so glad you're being so honest about that. That's really fantastic. I just love how you shared that. And there are interesting challenges. Are there any tips or is there anything that you can share with the audience and with the other women as to how you've overcome those challenges? Especially, you know, not taking it personally. It's one thing to know that it is perhaps not meant to be that way, but it still hurts. So are there any tips that you can share?
I think you just get better at it. I think, and the hurt's still there. I think you get better at getting over that more quickly. And I think obviously seeking, you know, professionals, whether it be lawyers or accountants or whoever needs to be involved, or bringing in mediators. We've often felt if there's, you know, grievances against us, we're quite happy to bring in outside mediators that we've met through the business that can give that objective opinion and help in that sense. So that's probably helpful. I mean, a lot of it you just have to suck it up and move on with it. And it probably does get easier to just sort of go from that personal hurt to thinking more about it as a business challenge, and that people don't see you necessarily as a person, that you've got to try and, I guess, think about it from their perspective, in that you're the employer, it's a company, so they don't see it as this live, organic thing like you do. To them, it's probably, you know, a lot more of a sort of cold objective. It's their employer. So they don't see it in the same sense that you do. So I guess it's about that. Keeping my mouth shut, that's probably a little bit harder, but I've found a few glasses of wines with girlfriends is the best go-to therapy, because I think just having another group of people that sort of maybe affirm that what you're feeling is okay, and that seemed to go a long way.
And I guess that's exactly what these podcasts are all about. So
they are, and I think that's what Women in Family Business as a group is about, is, finding that cheer squad, finding, you know, those people that understand that it's different for you being an employer in a family business or being part of a family business, because I switch between those roles of employer and employee in certain situations too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Now, you talked a bit about before, obviously, also keeping your mouth shut. That's one thing in particular if you had meetings with your husband. And we've had some really interesting stories already, also how interesting it can be being in the family business and therefore managing family relationships when you're also working together. How do you manage that?
I mean, I guess it was good not for, I guess I had the advantage that I haven't always worked in a family business, and we haven't always worked together. So we both came from very professional settings to the business. So most of the time we act very professionally and try and treat it as a professional relationship. I've had one employee say, oh, you know, how do you operate like this as, you know, husband, wife? But very much we sort of try and keep it, obviously, that we're professional. I guess the main thing to make it easier for people at work, I felt that when I came in that it was important, and I guess it's a bit like even in a family situation where you have children, that you don't have two bosses, you've got to be a united face. But it's probably also that he's the managing director. So sometimes people will come, I think, hoping that I'm going to be able to make the decision, but I often try and make them understand that ultimately it might be Peter's decision and it's him that they have to win over, because I also don't want to be found to be, you know, the meat in the sandwich and people lobbying to me to try and get him around to their certain way of thinking. So I often sort of just make it clear that it will be Peter that ultimately will make the decision. And then there's time when that's happened when I haven't agreed with it. But ultimately he was the one that started the business. It's definitely more his passion than mine. So even though I've got a lot invested in it, but ultimately I guess he wears the consequences of some of those decisions, even if it's me saying, I told you so. But ultimately he has to make it. So I try and make a discreet line that he is the boss at the end of the day.
And so he's bad cop and you're good cop.
No, I'm actually the bad cop in most cases. So I guess that's the best. At work that happens. I think it's probably harder at home to manage that work relationship when you step into the door. And like most couples or families, you know, we said to each other, oh, yes, I'm going to go and come and work with you, but we're not going to talk about work at home. That will be our rule. We're not going to talk about work. And we told our children that. And
they're still laughing, obviously, about that.
Yes. And we, you know, I had my youngest son, who's now 23, he was forever reminding us, but you said you weren't going to talk about work at home. Interestingly enough, there has been times through his university career as an architect that he came and worked in the business, and I think he was the worst. So it was very different once he was there, and he got to know the people and the dynamics and the challenges. He was probably the worst at actually holding to that rule. But the good part about that is now he can sort of engage in conversations with us about what's happening in the business, and he has much more of an understanding of what the challenges are.
That's great. So at least he's not pulling you up at home all the time. Now he knows exactly what it's like. Now, we mentioned sort of before and talked about this, but this change from government and teaching into the family business, mm-hmm. of course, would have been a huge shift for you. What is sort of one lesson that you've learned about yourself in particular, or even your family dynamic, that you've started to sort of see and learn as you became part of that family business?
I guess there's a few things. I didn't probably really understand how much I enjoyed the work that I was doing. So I did find it a real struggle going to work. And I think the main challenge for me was that I'd been so competent in the area that I worked in, and I had experience and expertise and knowledge in that area. So I was quite successful. And then I suddenly sort of, you know, landed on another planet that was all about manufacturing and engineering. And I needed and wanted to be, you know, an asset. But that was very difficult because I had no knowledge, no background, no expertise, no experience, you know, from everything, from, you know, the terminology, the language that was being used, the types of projects that were happening, just everything, even from small day-to-day things. And that was really frustrating. I guess in terms of the relationship of my husband and I think even though I always knew it, that we were very, very different. We come from very different perspectives. He's very much the engineer and much more about machines and equipment. And I guess what I've learned is that my skill set in terms of communication and people are very valuable, and he doesn't have it. So that I guess in life it tended to complicate. To complement things, but it can complicate things too. That's a Freudian slip, I think. But it does, our skill set and our very different perspectives does actually, you know, help in terms of the business, because they do complement each other.
That's wonderful. Now, we've been talking about lessons and managing relationships and overcoming challenges, but we don't want to forget also some of the wonderful achievements that one can experience in a family business, maybe even more so than being in somebody else's business. So what is one of the achievements that you'd like to share that you've had in your family business?
It was hard to sort of talk about sort of a single achievement in terms of the business. The main thing really is just surviving in business, because it's tough. We're a manufacturing business. I said to my husband once, out of all the businesses you could have bought, did you have to buy in manufacturing? That is so hard to compete with, in our case, Chinese imports. And in the construction industry, which is one of the toughest industries for a subcontractor, to be working in. And, you know, we're working on, you know, million-dollar projects, large hospitals. And our contracts happen to be towards the end of a project. So if a big builder's working on a project and they're coming near the end and there's been delays and delays, which there invariably is, we're right at the end. So we're in a challenging position in many ways. So it's a challenging business to run. So I think probably the survival, and with some of the things that have been thrown at us, and probably one of the biggest was the floods in 2011 in Brisbane, because, you know, that just happened overnight and our business went under, you know, 8-10 metres of water. The whole of the factory got washed out. We were able to save the computers and some of the office. But within days and within days, we were up and running the office side of things and had things going. We'd found new offices within a few days. And within a couple of months, we had the whole business, you know, back up and running. So I think in terms of being able to do that, when, you know, a lot of other businesses didn't survive, a lot of other businesses, you know, took longer to be able to get back on their feet. You know, there are lots of stories. We were over at 70 Mile Rocks, and there are a lot of stories of business owners that committed suicide and things like that. So I think those challenges that are both business challenges but also human challenges, it's probably that sense of survival and triumph over those sort of tough times. That's probably, I think, the greatest achievement.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's hard to believe that's 10 years ago now.
I know.
I just
obviously... Seems like yesterday.
I can imagine for you, it probably would feel like yesterday. And it's amazing to hear and wonderful to hear the survival and the resilience that family businesses do have. It's, as you said, not all survive, but generally they do tend to push through and push forward. It seems a little bit the wrong time at this point to ask you a bit of a funny story of working with your family in business, apart from being able to say to your son, I told you so. See, it's not that easy. But have you got one that you can share so we can lighten the mood a little bit?
There's nothing that really comes to mind. Like, I think we do try and have a fun workplace and have a bit of fun. There's nothing that stands out as anything particularly funny. I think that we just try and make it a bit of fun. And the fact that we are a family business, we don't shy away from in terms of our employees and the clients we get to know quite well. So I guess the main thing is we have a bit of fun with that. So, you know, I'll leave at the end of the day and say to Peter, you know, say hi to your lovely wife for me. Or, you know, we'll make comments about each other's spouses, and it just throws people that, you know, might be clients and don't know us that well, just people don't know what to think or where to look or whether we're still married or I'm the first wife or what. So I think we just play around with that notion and have a bit of fun and break the ice so that people know that, you know, that it's out there and that it's okay to comment and have fun with it as well, so that it's not because, like I said, we have to act professional and everything, but every now and again, you know, like everyone knows that we're married, and when Lucas, my son, was working with us, everyone knew that he wasn't the favourite child, that the favourite child didn't work for us, and he was the problem child. And he was okay with that. And once everybody knew when I was calling him that he was okay with that, then everyone was fine and could sort of laugh about it. But I think that's it. It's sort of that, it's a little bit of that dynamic that I think you've got to play with when you're a family and have fun with it, so that you sort of release a bit of that tension.
And I guess it also sees the family sort of flow through to the rest of the team, so that familyness.
Yes.
Which can be quite nice. It's really quite lovely. In closing, Tracy, what is one piece of advice you would give to those thinking about getting into the family business that they've grown up around, or if they're currently working in a family business, what would you advise?
I think for women, it's really important that if they're thinking about it, if they're looking at starting a business, their family, or if they're looking to join it, that they find something that's their niche, their passion. Don't join the business if there isn't something that you can be passionate about or make something that's your own. And I think that's what I struggled with. I find compartments of the business that I can get passionate about and try and invest my time and energy into those. But I think if I had my time over, I would, you know, sort of map that out a little bit more clearly for myself. and everyone else in the business so that I could just focus on those things I were, because I think then you can enjoy it more and obviously be more successful and be more fulfilled by it. So I think if you're just there out of the obligation or because you have those skills, I know at the conference that you had last year, you know, the very capable women that had been lawyers and left law firms to come and help their fathers in their businesses, and they were obviously an asset in certain ways. And I just think you have to make sure that you can also have that passion. And I think if you don't have that, it's going to make any of those challenges and the family dynamics that can get quite complicated more difficult to overcome. But if you're really passionate about the work you're doing, then it'll be worth it and make it easier for you.
That's really wonderful advice. Tracy, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show with us, and thank you so much for all the support and the passion that you have for women and family business. It's always wonderful working with you on some of those little initiatives. So thank you, and all the best for the year ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I'm Susanna Bransgrove, and this is Relativity, a new podcast sharing the lives of women and family businesses. This podcast is brought to you by Women and Family Business, Bris Podcast Hub, and PodWizard.